expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. In the old days in elevators, when I first got in business over 40 years ago, and the elevator lights, you'd have a white light for going up and a red light for going down. You ever notice that? They don't have those anymore. They just have arrows up, arrows down. I used to get on the elevator sometimes crowded with people, being a little bit cocky, I guess, or whatever, youngster, get on. I said, well, we're going up. If we're going up, I said, well, we're going up to heaven. And then in the elevator, if you're going down, I said, well, we're going down to, didn't know if I'd say it or not, but I would say it. So it's the idea of the light in the darkness. But here he goes on in verse 8. God called the expanse heaven. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. He continues on. So I bet, I would think, the pilgrims, as they traveled to Jerusalem, reflected upon the writings of Moses, and maybe even recited those words of God created the heavens and the earth. Well, on December 24th, 1968, on Christmas Eve, the astronauts read from Genesis 1, 1 through 10. I don't know if you remember that. The reading occurred during their ninth orbit around the moon. The broadcast reached an estimated 1 billion people on the earth. Bill Anders began verses 1 through 4, followed by Jim Lovell, who read verses 5 through 8, and then Frank Borman, who read verses 9 through 10. Isn't that tremendous? And you think of that great promise in Isaiah, when the Lord, Isaiah said, the Lord, His word goes out, does not return void. And think about a billion people that heard the reading of Genesis at that particular time. Now, I think it was Frank Borman that had written the letter to the astronauts. Am I right on that? Jim Lovell, he wrote the letter to the astronauts. Enjoy the view, he said to them. And I bet they saw I know that they saw the earth from a distance. Remember, he would say that they could put their thumbs up to the window of the capsule and block out the vision of the earth just by their thumb. They were so far away. Great reminder of God's greatness. J.J. Stuart Peroni makes this comment. He says, God's creative power and majesty were on scene, especially during the exile, expressed upon the heart of the nation, in contrast with the vanity of the gods of the heathens. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah writes, then shall he unto them, the heathens, the gods of the heathens, the Jews and the Chaldeans, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Well, the shift from verse 2 to 3 is significant. The anchor of the psalm is a God who provides help for us. He's a maker of heaven and earth. Now it gets really personal. Look at verse 3. He writes, He will not let your foot be moved, and He who keeps you will not slumber. So he talks about this in a very personal way. The text abandons imagery and says directly that God is our protector at all times and in all circumstances in verse 3. Mr. Boyce brings out in his commentary when he talks about verse 3, when he says, He will not let your foot be moved, and He who keeps you will not slumber. Many came to Alexander the Great and said, how do you sleep so well at night? And with all the enemies surrounding you, how in the world do you sleep? He replied that Parmenio, his faithful guard, was watching so he could sleep at night. How much more soundly should we sleep when God, who never slumbers nor sleeps, is guarding us? I don't know if you get up early in the morning. We do from most of the time, and it's dark typically. And you think, at least I think, about the Lord's presence and His watchful care all through the night. The watchman in the night is the idea, I think, of what comes out in verse 3. Mr. Prony goes on to say, He doth not, and He will not, and He cannot slumber or sleep. I can't imagine that. This side of heaven, the first 1,000 years in heaven, I just want to sleep. just let me go to sleep over here on the side. Moses can come poke me after 1,000 years. But it's the whole idea of we're fallen and finite. He's infinite. He never sleeps. Never sleeps. He's our watchful watchman in the night. When he talks about in verse 3 that he will not let your foot be moved, the commentators are somewhat silent here. It seems to me, in light of the entire psalm, he's saying to us, God will keep us upright looking to Jesus through our continued repentance and walking by faith. He holds us up walking by faith. We had a garage sale yesterday, and one of the things that I had to let go of was my favorite thing we'd put on our porch in the fall. It was a scarecrow. We called him Scary. So I wanted to put a good price on him because I hated to see him go because he'd been with us forever. So we put him in the front of the garage sale to try to attract people to come in, right? We had on the price $35. After an hour, an hour and a half, we dropped it to $25. After another hour, free. We put on there, I'm free. We still couldn't get rid of it. So I took it to the Samaritan Inn up in McKinney and donated it. And he was falling apart. He could hardly stand up anymore. And I was thinking of this, that the Lord holds us up. Even when we can't walk, He holds us up. Even when we cannot say the words we need to say, He holds us up by God's grace. Verse 4, he goes on, behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleeps. Look, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleeps. You see, when trouble assails us, this is a reminder that we're going to need help on our journey. When it speaks of the Lord watching us over us day and night, it implies we need watching. That phrase, I hear it often, heard it a lot more often when I work full time. It was, you got this. And I'm thinking, I don't, but God's got this. God's got this. And I hear another phrase, God shows up. Well, where's he been beforehand? God's always there. He's always there ministering to us, and he's got it by God's grace. Troubles are going to come our way in and from the providence of God. To know that the Lord of heaven never slumbers or sleeps is very comforting for us as individuals. So to say with the psalmist, my help comes from the Lord, is a tremendous comfort. Others in the New Testament have given similar assurances of the Lord confirming that he who keeps Israel never slumbers or sleeps. Jude, in his letter in the New Testament, verse 24, listen to what he writes. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Jude is admitting that there is much that could cause us to fall, and even that we sometimes do fall, but God can and does persevere us through to his glorious presence in heaven in spite of our falls. And as for Paul the Apostle, when he writes in Romans 8 that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, he is not closing his eyes or shutting his ears to these destructive forces, but invites them to come forward, saying that they will never succeed in detaching us from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, as you know, experienced great difficulties in his ministry. Shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead, all those kinds of things that Paul went through. And we'll see that in 2 Corinthians. Yet none of these things separated him from Christ's love. Today he is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be there forever. They killed him in Rome when they beheaded Paul. But he later would be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. They could not take his soul. God preserved his soul, as the psalmist already brought out for us. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. On our front porch, we Leanne and I love to sit on our front porch in the evening. And on the west side of it is where the sun is coming down. We have a shade installed. We can lower the shade depending upon where the sun is in the western sky. And in the heat of the summer, you could bring, and the sun is bearing down, you could bring that shade down. You could feel the shade coming over you as the shade goes down. It's much like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our shade. We can feel His presence by God's grace and through the testimony of the Holy Spirit. We can feel the shade coming down over us because of the umbrella of what Christ provides for us in our walk of faith. So verses 5 and 6, the sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. Now Israel's privilege is made sure to the single Israelite. Protection as individual as he is himself. It starts where he is now, out on his journey, looking at the mountains. The Lord is closer than they, and His protection as refreshing as it is complete. It avails against the known and the unknown, perils of day and night, the most overwhelming, overpowering of forces, and the most insidious that come against us. And I'm talking about the shade. Peroni says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There has been a shadow from the heat. It's a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's what we have. The right hand, he talks about in verses 5 and 6, he says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. We have talked about that shade, but the right hand is like Jehovah standing upon the right hand to defend thee is thy shade. There's the atmospheric protection from the direct rays of the sun by day and of the moon by night. The presence of the sun by day, especially in the early morning hours, points to the great light of Genesis that God created. And the moon, especially when it is full and the reflection of the sun, is clearly seen. Sometimes I go out for maybe a walk early in the morning. The moon's out. The sun hasn't quite come up yet. And the beauty of that moon and moonlight over our neighborhood is just reflecting of the sun's light. It's a beautiful picture of that lesser light that God has created. God created the heavens, the sun, and the moon, as you know, out of Genesis chapter 1. Then verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. We talked about that. It's really the Lord will keep your soul. He writes about that. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your very soul. The promise moves from the pilgrim's immediate preoccupations to cover the whole of existence, and that's the soul. In the light of other scriptures, to be kept from all evil does not imply a cushioned life, but a well-armed one that can expect the darkness, that can expect the dark valley, but can face it. Evil can and does affect us in our Christian walk. We seek to avoid it, but when we are unable to, we can face it in the power of the Holy Spirit and are forced to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about the soul means the whole living person. You see that again in verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul. Eugene Peterson in his book, The Song of Ascents, notes that the promise of the psalm is not that we shall never stumble, but that no injury, including death, I added that, my parenthetical, no illness, no accident, no distress will have evil power over us. That is, we'll be able to separate us from the God's purposes in us and for us. So for the seasoned Christian, is neither blind to trouble nor has to live in the fear of it. For he is following the Lord Jesus Christ, who in John 16:33 said, in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I've overcome the world. When verse 8 is our conclusion, it's my favorite verse of this psalm. Listen as I read it. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. There is nothing stronger or more sweeping in this psalm than that statement. For years in real estate, I worked for a company called Duke Realty. Worked there for many years. And I had to travel some, but mainly I traveled the streets of Dallas. I'd go out early in the mornings. I'd go to our properties on LBJ. We had them in South Dallas. We had the tollway. 75, it was just a lot of driving. I can remember coming at the end of the day, coming home and pulling in our garage at the end of a day, six or whatever time it was, and just being so thankful, reflect upon this verse. He protects our going out and our coming in. I oftentimes remember reflecting upon that promise and comfort that brought to me. Thy going out and thy coming in is a phrase that denotes the whole life and occupation of men and women. It also marks the completeness of the protection vouchsafed, extending that the man does in all that he is. But this last line takes care of this journey from this time, now, and forever. It's not just for a season, it's forever. He protects us, our going out and our coming in. Here he writes, the fact that it starts from now, or that it runs on, not to the end of time, but without end. Like God Himself, who is my portion forever. We reflect upon that. I reflect upon that a lot more as the older I get, reflecting upon the fact that it's the portion forever with the Lord God. In early April, in this year, 2026, an F-15 Strike Eagle was shot down in Iran's mountainous region in enemy territory. The pilot was rescued quickly by U.S. forces within hours of the crash. The second airman, a weapons service officer, evaded capture for a day and a half, 36 to 48 hours, hiding in a mountain crevice with a serious ankle injury. To rescue the weapons service officer was highly complex and involved hundreds of special forces, dozens of aircraft, and night operations. The CIA and Israel ran a deceptive campaign to mislead the Iranian forces by providing intelligence and conducting diversionary airstrikes. So they would do something over here to get the Iranian soldiers going that way. They would do something over here in the other side of the mountainous region to get the Iranian forces to go that way. And they'd send out bogus transcripts to try to confuse them of where the soldier was. We knew where he was, and it was just a matter of extracting him at the right particular time. The result is that the second airman was rescued while hundreds and hundreds of Iranian soldiers were searching for him. His response upon rescue was, God is good. It's a great story. The story gets greater. What an incredible picture what Christ accomplished for us. We were in enemy territory. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were rescued. We were plucked out of the crowd. The numbers of angelic host and work of the Holy Spirit cannot be calculated. All the angelic host, all the works of the Holy Spirit, all the people that came into your life to present you the gospel, all those special forces that came about through the divine working of our Heavenly Father. And what was the cost? The cost of the mission to rescue the service officer was immense. Our cost was greater. It cost our Heavenly Father the life of His very Son, the Lord Jesus. You see, He is willing to die for us. Now, can we trust Him? Lord, help us to trust Him. Help me, Lord, through the power of the Spirit, to trust Him and believe these very promises that He is with us. So is the Lord our keeper? He is. Is the Lord your keeper? He is. Is the Lord our shade on our right hand? Yes. And does the Lord guard our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore? He does. Thank the Lord for that. This is a good place to stop. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your wonderful grace to us. Thank You for Your presence with us. Thank You that You provide hope and encouragement through Your Word and our true teacher, God the Holy Spirit. Lift our hearts. Lift our hearts to You that we would seek Your face. Lift our hearts and minds that we would sing glory and praise to Your name and believe the word that's presented to us week in and week out. Thank You for our moments together this morning. We pray for all of these prayer requests on the board. Just pray Your providential care, Your care in providing
for all the individuals there. Thank you for our moments together. Again, thank you for the freedom that we have, that we can meet in this place without harm or without fear. Thank you for the provision of Christ. May Christ's church be honored. In his name we pray. Amen.